everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my producer-engineer friend, Ray Allen. It is Easter Monday, April 17th, and that is that's a holiday up in Canada and the United Kingdom. And I think for some people, maybe in this country, still enjoying the Easter weekend. I hope it went very well for you and yours. All of our listeners want to wish them all the very best. We have a very full hour, beginning with our Monday political face-off. Then at 12:30, Dr. Andrew Weil will be taking your health and wellness questions at 790-2040. Our political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's Gallery at Fort Lowell and Dodge and on Facebook. Moe's Gallery, the place to go for all of your framing needs. I was over there visiting with Moe on Saturday. He's doing very well. I had another job for him, so it will come back like they always do. Museum quality, does great work. The Monday political face-off today featuring Vince Robigo, Vince 2010 Democratic Arizona Attorney General candidate and chair of the Hispanic Caucus of the Pima County Democratic Party. John Munger is here. Mr. Munger, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents and 2010 Republican candidate for governor. John and Vince, hope you had a great Easter.
Had a wonderful Easter.
Same here. Hope the same for you.
Yeah, it went very well. It was certainly, John, great weather, and I know you tried to get out and play a little golf.
Did get out and play a little golf. And I got a lot of swings in.
Well, that's not good.
No, that's not good. but I got my money's worth.
Yeah.
That's one way of looking at it.
Vince, you were visiting family?
Yes, down in Douglas. So very nice Easter.
Let's begin with this article that Jonathan Butcher, the Goldwater Institute based up in Phoenix, he's their education director. Vince, the headline of the op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal, every public school student in Arizona will get a chance at choice. And I was just, it came to me that this is commonly referred to, Vince, as a voucher program. But I looked at Mr. Butcher's piece here in the Journal, and I don't see the word voucher used once.
Well, that's true. I mean, the on a political front, you know, the proponents of siphoning off, you know, public education funds for individuals to use privately. They use all sorts of euphemisms, whether it be, you know, Governor Ducey likes to use the word choice and, you know, freedom of choice. I know they use the words, you know, empowerment. But certainly these vouchers at the end of the day are nothing more than a way to drain the public school system and give people the ability to use public tax dollars for private business, you know, essentially private schools who provide, you know, their business is the business of education, to provide them with public tax dollars. So that's really what's happening here.
John, do you see any problem with this?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. I think that students are getting a choice of where they go to school. It's for the same dollars, we are educating the children. It doesn't cost anything to the system. You know, if you have 100 students, it's going to cost you X amount of money to go all to public schools. If some of them start going to private schools and they get the same dollars, what difference does it make? If students have a chance to go where they want to go, and instead of being locked into a school that they don't want to go to, that's wonderful. And I'm all for it. It also creates a sense of competition where the public schools have to finally compete for the education dollar. One of the things that people have criticized is they say, well, public schools have to take disabled kids. Well, the program provides that the voucher, the typical voucher for a non-disabled kid is $5,000, but it's $14,000, up to $14,000 for a disabled child. So there's an incentive for these vouchers to go to private schools, and there's an incentive to get the disabled kids into those schools, so they're not all left in the public schools. That's a wonderful thing. But it's also important to say, I think that the number of vouchers available is something like 30,000 out of a school population of 1.5 million. So it's not like we're going to have a complete drain of the public school system when you got 1.5 million kids in the school system or school age and you're taking only 30,000 vouchers available.
It is small right
now. It's very small.
But I know the Goldwater Institute has said they'd like to expand that.
Well, let's talk about that. The reality is this. This was not a bill or a piece of education that was being pushed by public school attending families or teachers or advocates at all. And in fact, they were frozen out of the debate, which was not even presented as one of the legislative priorities of the governor. So it was a stealth bill that obviously others had been pushing in the past. And who was at the table? You had essentially a conservative think tank like the Goldwater Institute at the table, and who boasted about being there at the table during the negotiations. And then, what happened was there weren't enough votes to pass it. And certainly those few moderate Republicans that had been holding out said, well, if there are these caps we can put in there, then they were getting their arms twisted by the governor's office. And so once those caps were put in there by an amendment, immediately before the bill was even signed, I believe, the Goldwater Institute sent out an email fundraising a blast on their email system saying this has been 50 years in the making and there's this cap now, it will be lifted. And so it was roundly viewed and properly so that those who sold out their votes have sold out the Arizona taxpayer, and that really it's the folks who are at the table in the back rooms in these negotiations who are not the public school families who are attending or the teachers who or members who are paying into the system, but rather essentially ideological entities that are pushing this through along
so
with those politicians.
Special interests
absolutely
ramrodded this thing.
Well, that's absolutely what it is. And here's the issue. You know, John brought up some points, and he was trying to talk about, oh, this is great and this is choice. Let me point out the biggest hypocrisy of this right out the gate.
First and
foremost, we are subsidizing private entities that are private. In other words, this is the worst of sort of government picking the winners, because they're taking your public tax dollars and saying, okay, students, you can go spend this and give this to a private business. So what happened to the idea, number one, of corporate subsidies? We are essentially providing corporate welfare to businesses that have chosen to be private, chosen not to be a public entity, and they're not held accountable the way public entities are. And yet this argument also about purported competition. If these entities could make it on their own in this world of competition, then they shouldn't need a public subsidy. So this really, at the end of the day, has nothing to do with choice. It's about defunding public education further by allowing people to take those tax dollars out of their public education system and move. You can call it all sorts of things, but these
saying,
are vulture vouchers that are essentially eating at the bones of the already...
Eating the seed corn of public
they're
education.
Eating the seed corn of public education and picking the flesh of the bones that have been cut for years and years by the Republican majorities in the state of Arizona over the last 15 years.
John, your response.
Well, look, everybody pays public school taxes. And what Vince is saying is, well, private schools ought to compete in an atmosphere where first the people have to pay public school taxes. They don't get any of it. If they want to send their kid to a private school, they have to pay over and above the public school taxes. And all the legislature is saying is, look, put the money in the hands of the parents and let the parents decide, based upon competition, what school is the best for their kids. What is wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with that from Vince's point of view. Vince's point of view.
I'll disagree with that. You're going to tell me what you think my point of view is.
All right, let me put it that way. What I think your point of view is, okay. is this is about okay. public teacher unions. They want to control the school system. Now, how much success have we had with that at TUSD? Not much. And if my kids were in TUSD, I'd want to have an opportunity to get them out of TUSD. If you're in a good school district, fine. I'm not as worried about it. But why should the public teachers unions have control over the kids and the kids can't escape from them? That is not right. Now, I will tell you that Vince is surprised that this was negotiated at the legislature. Tell me a bill that isn't negotiated at the legislature.
That's not what I'm surprised about.
They're all negotiated. There are always trade-offs in any legislation, and that's just the way it is. So saying, oh, they had to negotiate this, and people
that's
made
not
deals.
What I said.
People made deals.
Well, let's
big
hear
deal.
It. Let's hear what Vince
said. Well, first of all,
said.
That's not what I said. I said who was frozen out of participating, who wasn't at the table. And those were public families attend public schools, teachers, advocates of properly funding our public education system. They were not at the table. I'm not talking – obviously, that's a given that things are negotiated at the legislature. But when you freeze out the people, the very people – who the system serves, that and you have essentially ideological entities bragging about how they're at the table and how they're going to get these caps lifted. That's a problem with the system. Now let's talk about this, because John's saying about that this is this is the greatest thing and really these people are trapped. They're not trapped. We have open enrollment in the state of Arizona. We have, since the 1994, the biggest state in the country with the most number of, in terms of the number of charter schools, which use public funds but are not run publicly. They're essentially privately run entities that use public dollars. People can go anywhere and have open enrollment in the state of Arizona, and they can also choose with their feet to go to a private school. So this idea that they're prevented from going somewhere else, it's ludicrous, and it's a smokescreen for what's really happening here.
All
this
right.
is an underfunding and a calculated attempt to continue to destabilize the system so that at one day all that's going to be left is the shreds, and it's going to become completely commercialized and privatized in the state of Arizona, and there will be no opportunity for people to climb their way out of
the poverty. All I care, Vince, is that the kids have as much free choice as they can.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Dr. Wiles coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery. Info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday at noon, State Senator Andrea D'Alessandro with a legislative update. Then Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Also the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Visit Tucson's Dan Gibson will have the latest. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Vince Robigo and John Munger. We'll have Dr. Weil coming up in about 10 minutes. Vince, is there anything you would like to ask Dr. Weil? Would you like me to ask for you?
Well, I need a special mind control to alter my diet. That's what I need. After this delicious Easter day, Easter dinner.
Oh, my goodness.
I need to figure out ways to cut back, aside from the traditional eat less and move more.
I wish your audience could have heard you in the break, Bill.
I know.
I'm going to tattle on Bill. Bill
said,
oh, I can't keep my weight under control, and he's whining about this. And then I said, well, you just got to watch your calories. And he says, yeah, but I like cookies. And I said, too bad, Bill.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I do like bakery goods. Always have, and of course it is.
You know, you got a choice, Bill.
I know. There's always a choice. Choice, we're speaking about schools and choices. Ingrid would like to speak with us about public school financing. Hi, Ingrid.
Hi. I'd like to. It's a two-part question.
Okay.
On what basis can it legitimately be maintained that segregation exists in the public school system? Don't moms and dads choose where they're going to live? And then if you cannot support or defend that premise that there is segregation, then on what basis can desegregation programs be defended?
I'll let Vince or John.
That's a great question. I'll let Vince answer that.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure I understand. Can you repeat the question? I'm not sure how that relates to the
basically,
the funding
she's saying here. We have all this desegregation funding that we're still spending. Is there desegregation in the schools when, in fact, people choose where they live and can choose what school they go to?
That's it, John. You characterized the question perfectly.
Why are we getting desegregation funding?
Well, you know, as far as if you're talking about the local school district, of, for example, TUSD, that looks at a court decision and an injunction, for example, and a court order. And so there have to be certain metrics that are met before the courts will release a district. So the issue of the fact that, you know, since the inception of a court order that demographics or rules have changed where, for example, people now have open enrollment so they can enroll somewhere else, really doesn't directly relate to something that is imposed for a prior existing reason. And it's the same thing, like let's say a consent decree with a police department, and you had misconduct before where there was abuse of civil rights, and there's a consent decree, a federal consent decree, and that impacts the department. You might have a scenario that going forward there are no more reports for, you know, let's say the next 3 or 4 years, but because of the prior conduct, that stays in place until the court system.
Well, they just reaffirmed, as I recall, and I could be wrong, correct me if I am, the courts just reaffirmed the desegregation funding about 2 years ago in TUSD. And I've never understood. I'm where Linda is. I don't understand if we're still segregated, why the hell are we still segregated? And if we're not segregated, why are we spending that money?
Well, you know, I think the question is, aside from that, and I know they affirmed some sort of a court ruling. I don't know that that was something that was being examined, for example. So the premise or the questions underlying her question, I don't think that's – and I don't know. So I'm not speaking as if I know what the Ninth Circuit decision was or what the federal court decision was with respect to the U.S. District Court. I do know it went up to the Ninth Circuit within the last 3 or 4 years. But I don't know that that was the issue. So I can't speak to that. But one aspect of your caller's question that, frankly, is sort of relates to this debate that we're discussing that we're having now is that, like, for example, they did a study, and I don't know, we're talking, let's say, for example, you have somebody who lives in an affluent school district that is receiving a good education.
Mm-hmm.
They did a study, the Arizona Republic did a study of those vouchers that already exist and have been used.
They actually analyzed every school district.
Correct.
That Republic report.
And about 70 to 72, I forget the exact number, but it was like around 70% of those using the vouchers weren't people that were coming from bad schools. They were essentially just taking those public tax dollars and using them elsewhere. And
what's
wrong with that is the whole argument, at least on the underlying part of this major argument, is, oh, we need to help these poor kids that can't afford to get out of this terrible school system. But the reality is that's not who's been using it. 70% are affluent people that are sent in their schools to affluent districts. So when you start talking about who benefits at the end of the day, well, certainly it's those that were already in affluent that have been using this, and it's not something that we're using to help impoverished people. The other part about this is that aside from just this investigation that was done by the Arizona Republic, the Arizona State Auditor General examined that program, and they found that just for a six-month period that there was over $100,000 of abused funds, misused funds, that individuals were not using properly in any fashion. And essentially that was just glossed over because of this whole ideological idea that we're going to make tax dollars become portable funds. And so when everybody else is attending public schools now, what's happening is we are going to be subsubsidizing people to send their kids off to private schools. That's really what's happening. It's a massive transfer of wealth distribution, because what they're saying is we're not going to do it as the state. We're not giving these funds directly to the private schools. We're going to give it to the parents so they can use the private schools, which really is sort of a fiction.
Let me respond to that. First of all, out of 1,500,000 students, we're talking about 30,000 of these vouchers available. That's an insignificant number relative. Number two, let's get real on this open enrollment in the public schools. Yes, there's open enrollment. You can apply to go to a school. Number one, it has to be in your school district. And number two, it has to have available openings. So I can apply to a better school, but I only from my regular school in my school district, but only if there's available room in that better school. Well, there's often not going to be more room available in that better school. So this open enrollment thing is kind of a sham, because you can't get into the best schools because there are no openings in the best schools.
So you're saying it's like a bait and switch.
I'm saying there aren't the seats available. It sounds great. Oh, it's open enrollment, but you can't get in. And now when we have people, even if they do leave the better schools with a voucher program, now there's a seat available in that school for somebody else to actually be able to take advantage of open enrollment.
All right.
You know, this there's two other points to this that are very important. Number one, this is going to have staggering implications for rural Arizona, who have very few private schools at all. And
maybe they should have them.
So the reality is it's not going to benefit rural Arizona. And the second thing is, for example, you just had, for example, the Verde Valley Schools superintendent and district and all of these people essentially coming out. And these are, you know, up at North, Yavapai, or these other areas coming out and blasting this decision, saying we need to be bolstering our public education system. It was in the Verde Independent, serving Cottonwood and those areas up there. Instead of battering them and taking more funds away.
Got to run, gentlemen. John Munger, Vince Robigo, the Monday Political Face-Off. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank
the
you.
Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Check it out, Moe, for all of your framing needs. They do a great job over there. We have Dr. Andrew Weil on the line. He will be answering your questions at 790-2040 after we take the mid-show break.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at SOAZNewsX.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. And remember, Green Things has those very popular free workshops Friday afternoon from 1 to 3, and then Saturday morning at 10 a.m. till noon, 3384 East River Road. What a great place for all your gardening needs. GreenThingsAZ.com. Well, his well-known face has graced the cover of Time magazine twice. Dr. Andrew Weil is a world-renowned leader and pioneer in the field of integrative medicine. That is a healing-oriented approach to healthcare, which encompasses body, mind, and spirit. Dr. Andrew Weil is the founder and director of the University of Arizona-based Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. He's a clinical professor of medicine and professor of public health and professor of integrated rheumatology. Dr. Weil received both of his medical degrees from Harvard University. He has sold 10 million copies of now 14 books, and including some of the titles Spontaneous Healing, 8 Weeks to Optimum Health, Eating Well for Optimum Health, The Healthy Kitchen, Healthy Aging, Why Our Health Matters, Spontaneous Happiness. His newest book, just being released, it's titled Mind Over Meds, Know When Drugs Are Necessary, When Alternatives Are Better, and When to Let Your Body Heal on Its Own. Dr. Weil is the founder and co-owner of the growing group of True Food Kitchen Restaurants. He's the editorial director at drweil.com, the leading web resource for health living based on the philosophy of integrative medicine. Dr. Weil, how are you?
I am good. Very nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk with you again. What was the genesis of the new book, which I have in front of me, Mind Over Meds?
A couple of years ago, the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine held a little weekend think tank to talk about initiatives for integrative medicine in coming years, and we identified over-medication as the main priority that we wanted to work on. I think this is the biggest black mark against conventional medicine. People are taking too much medication, both prescribed and over-the-counter. I think many people have no idea how these drugs work, what their risks are, their possible interactions, and in many cases, I think they do more harm than good.
Well, how did we come to believe that medication is really the only or most effective way to treat disease?
Very good question. I think this is a deep-rooted mindset on the part of both doctors and patients. If you told the average physician to manage a case without giving a medication, I think he or she wouldn't know what to do. And if you told the average patient that a medical interaction was not going to result in a prescription, they would feel cheated and go to another doctor till they got something they saw advertised on television. I think this has developed over a very long time. It's gotten much worse in my lifetime. Americans now take prescribed medication at about 10 times the rate that they did in the middle of the last century. Some of this is due to direct-to-consumer advertising of pharmaceutical drugs, which I think should be banned. But as I say, this is a long history and a very deep-rooted mindset.
And it isn't everywhere in the world that we do advertise drugs on TV. In fact, you write in the book that it's really only New Zealand and the United States where you see these ads.
Correct. We should all work to end that practice. And you know, by the way, there are many other methods of managing disease, which I cover in this book. I think medication is one method, and it certainly has its place. But there are many very effective and safe methods for treating common conditions, and the problem is that most health professionals are not trained in their use.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question for Dr. Andrew Weil, we'll get you on the air. You write something that really jumped out at me. You say, really, there is no difference existing between a drug and a poison, except the dosage. I never thought about that.
If you push the dose of any drug up high enough, it will poison people. And some poisons become useful therapeutic agents in low enough doses. So one of the great problems with many of the medications we use today is safety. Adverse drug reactions account for a lot of illness and death. And that's one reason that I'd like to see people not use medication excessively.
We hear so much about the opioid addiction. It fits right into really the topic of this book, doesn't it?
Yes, there's a chapter on opioids and the management of chronic pain. What I did was to identify the major categories of medications that I think are most misused and overused: antibiotics, statins, medications for GERD, antihistamines, and so forth. And opioids is one of the chapters. I think that opioids are very useful drugs for the management of acute pain. But for chronic pain syndrome, they are not good as standalone treatment. And I think there's a growing consensus that chronic pain syndrome requires a team-based, individualized, integrative approach that draws on many other therapies besides medication.
Statins are so widely prescribed, and many heart and cardiologists have been saying, well, maybe everybody, Dr. Weil, needs to be on a statin.
I've heard cardiologists say that they should be put in the water supply. That's a really bad idea. You know, they are very effective agents at doing one thing, lowering HDL, lowering LDL cholesterol, bad cholesterol. But that's only one risk factor for heart attack. You know, half of people who have heart attacks have normal serum cholesterol. And we'd also like to raise HDL cholesterol, lower serum triglycerides, change the particle size of LDL cholesterol, and statins don't do any of that. So they have a place, but they should not be the first-line intervention. There are so many ways of reducing risk of coronary artery disease and reducing cholesterol, and that should, you know, medication alone affords only limited protection.
One of our Facebook friends has asked me to ask you, what about alternatives to allergy medication? Is there a way to get around a pharmaceutical approach to allergies, which are especially troubling this time of year, Dr. Weil?
Definitely. First of all, the most effective, and I say this as someone who suffered from hay fever in the early part of my life, the most effective remedy that I have found for the symptoms of hay fever, you know, allergic rhinitis, is a botanical remedy made from the freeze-dried leaves of nettles. So you can buy this on Amazon. It has no side effects, very effective. And interestingly, when you begin to use this, the allergies tend to recede, whereas if you rely on antihistamines, they often persist and become worse. There are other things you can do, such as getting a good air filter for the house. There's things that can reduce allergic responsiveness. Diet, an anti-inflammatory diet, can be helpful. But, you know, nettles is a really good thing to know about.
And how often would you take something like that? Just every day? Or?
It's a symptomatic treatment, so you can take it every 2 to 4 hours as needed to control itchy eyes, sneezing, itching in the throat, and so forth.
Had another question about anti-anxiety medications widely prescribed. Is there a way to go the opposite to the pharmaceutical approach?
Definitely. First of all, let me say that the main category of anti-anxiety drugs, the benzodiazepines or benzos, this is all the stuff like Valium, Ativan, Xanax. I think these are some of the worst drugs out there. And I would even say they have no legitimate uses except for very short-term management of situational anxiety, say due to a death in the family or travel across time zones. They have a very high risk of dependence and addiction. They interfere with cognitive function. They're handed out like candy, and doctors do not give patients any warnings about the trouble they can get into with them. So there is a natural anti-anxiety agent that is very safe and effective. That's Kava, K-A-V-A. You can read information about this. It's widely available in various forms, quite safe. And also the breathing technique that I teach called the 478 breath, which you can find in all my books and on my website. That is, I think, the single most effective anti-anxiety measure that I've discovered.
And could you quickly go over that breathing technique for our listeners?
Sure. You breathe in through your nose to a count of four quietly, hold your breath for a count of seven, and then blow air out through your mouth forcefully for a count of eight, and you repeat that for a total of four breath cycles. And you have to practice that. You know, you have to do it at least twice a day, and after, say, a month of practice, it will become a more and more effective method for nipping anxiety in the bud.
Could it also be effective for arrhythmias?
Absolutely. I have taught this to hundreds of physicians and patients, and many of the fellows who go through our training programs report that they're using it in a variety of medical settings with very good results. It is great for stopping tachycardia, a rapid heartbeat, and I've got several cases of people who've stopped atrial fibrillation using the breathing technique.
Hmm. Take our break right here. Dr. Andrew Weil will stick around for a second segment, 790-2040, or as several folks have done, you can Facebook us at the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery. Info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's a great road trip. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, a beautiful portion of New Mexico in the southwestern United States. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the full listing of several dozen great recreation opportunities, including hiking in the Gila National Forest, or just doing some antiquing in downtown Silver City. Great places to stay as well, listed on the website. Dr. Andrew Weil is with us. He's the founder and director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. His newest book, his 14th, I believe, is Mind Over Meds. Roberta would like to speak with Dr. Weil at 790-2040. Go ahead, Roberta. Hi, Roberta.
With hypothyroidism and an inability to take medications, is it okay to eat cruciferous vegetables if you take selenium and iodine? And should they always be cooked, or can they be eaten raw?
Well, I think since cruciferous vegetables can interfere with thyroid function, you just want to keep your intake of them constant, so you don't want to suddenly start eating a lot of them. As long as you're eating them at a regular rate, it should not be a problem.
All right. Thank you, Roberta. We had a question during the break about the outpatient clinic, Dr. Weil. Is that up and running yet in Tucson, and do you know where it will be located when it does start?
No, I'm sorry, I don't. We are working very hard to get it going in Tucson. You know, we have some physicians who see patients at the University Hospital, but we don't have our clinic up yet. I'm hoping within a year we will.
790-2040 for your questions and comments with Dr. Andrew Weil. What about arthritis? It's a problem that dogs a lot of people, especially the unfortunate rheumatoid arthritis. Mm-hmm. Are there some alternatives to medications in that area, Dr. Weil?
Well, medication may have to be used, but the goal would be to use the lowest doses of the least potent agents as possible. There are very effective natural anti-inflammatory agents like turmeric, especially. Their mind-body interventions can be particularly helpful in autoimmune arthritis. The anti-inflammatory diet that I recommend, extremely helpful.
Losing weight, one of our listeners wants to know, is there anything that can be done to lose weight when you are over 70 and your metabolism slows down? What do you recommend?
Be physically active and try not to worry about it.
But the metabolism does slow down, doesn't it?
It goes, weight comes on easier and goes off with greater difficulty as you age.
How about GERD? There's a question about people who take medication to control the acid reflux when I believe, Dr. Weil, because I've used it myself, there's a very natural remedy that is very effective.
First of all, let me just say, when I was growing up, people did not have GERD. They had heartburn, and they treated it with Tums, which is a very safe preparation of calcium carbonate. And most people understood that heartburn was your stomach's way of telling you that you had mistreated it by eating too much, eating the wrong foods, and so forth. Now we've totally medicalized this condition, and the main drugs that are used, these proton pump inhibitors, PPIs, are very dangerous. It is very easy to become totally dependent on them and find it very hard to get off. There's a remedy that I recommend called DGL, a licorice extract. You can get this as powder or tablets. and it increases the mucus coating in the lining of the stomach and esophagus, making it more resistant to stomach acid. So that's certainly something that I recommend in trying to help people get off of the prescribed medications.
When you're teaching young doctors, they have such a tendency when people go to a doctor for the pharmaceutical approach as the first approach. If a doctor doesn't go that way, I think the patient sometimes feels they're not getting their money's worth. They're being gypped in some way.
That's just what I said at the beginning. This is a deeply rooted mindset on the part of both doctors and patients. But I hope that the book will give people information that will make them question the need for medication and become aware of the alternatives that are possible.
What do you say for people who are having all sorts of trouble dealing with just kind of being able to exercise and maybe do some meditation, kind of get their lives back in order in a natural approach rather than being prescribed antidepressants? I believe, Dr. Weil, some studies have actually shown that exercise can be every bit as effective as some of these entry-level medications for depression.
True, absolutely true. Now, a general recommendation is that if you want to have better lifestyle habits, spend more time in the company of people who have the habits you want. If you want to eat better, spend more time with people who have good eating habits. If you want to exercise more, spend more time in the company of people who are physically active. That's a good general piece of advice.
Can chronic pain be dealt with or lessened at all by exercise, Dr. Weil?
It can, but I think that's individual. As I said, treatment of chronic pain has to be individualized. That would certainly include appropriate physical activity, stress reduction, use of other therapies like yoga, acupuncture. There's a variety of things that can be done in addition to or in place of medication. And physical activity, the right kind of physical activity, is certainly important.
Let's go back to the live line. Sandra called us at 790-2040. Go ahead, Sandra.
I just need to know what you can do naturally for eczema.
Eczema or eczema?
Yeah, I would suggest if you look this up on drweil.com, you'll find a list of recommendations. But among them, I would eliminate cow's milk in all of its forms from the diet. I would supplement with fish oil and with evening primrose oil. And I would use topical preparations of chaparral, an herb that grows in our desert here.
Okay, Sandra, thank you very much. Is that an inherited problem, eczema, Dr. Weil?
There is certainly a familial pattern to it. There's a genetic propensity. I personally think that if there is a history of allergy or eczema in the family, it's important to keep kids off of cow's milk in any form until they are past some critical window, and I don't know what that is. It could be a year, it could be 2 years, it could be 3 years. If you introduce milk after that, it may be accepted, but if you do it before that, a very common pattern is infantile eczema, then childhood asthma, and further problems later in life.
Let's go back to the live line. Richard is with us. Go ahead, Richard.
Information about local doctors that might specialize in gerontology.
Okay.
Well, there aren't too many of them. There's I have a book, a chapter in the book on over-medication of the elderly that's written by one of our faculty members, Julie Jernberg, and she is a specialist in gerontological medicine.
Is she here in town then, Dr. Weil?
She is here in town. She is director of the Iora Health, that's I-O-R-A, Geriatric Medicine Clinic in Tucson.
All right. How is the True Food programs going? How are the restaurants doing?
Great, but don't ask me when we're getting one in Tucson.
Well, that was my
next. I'm working on it as hard as I can.
Well, every
we've got 17 now.
People are waiting. Come on, put one here. But
I promise.
All right. Dr. Andrew Weil, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. The book will be released very soon. It's going to be available, I'm sure, at Amazon, right?
Yep.
Mind Over Meds, Dr. Andrew Weil's latest book. Always a pleasure, Dr. Weil. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Andrew Weil, our guest here on The Buckmaster Show. He has now, this is, I believe, his 14th book. So he's got some great books out there. All right, coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen will ably assist Mike in his program. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson. We do 3 hours of local talk here in the morning in Tucson from 6 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow, and we'll be getting an update on what's going on at the legislature. State Senator Andrea D'Alessandro will be joining us, and then we'll also hear from Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show, our Monday edition on this Easter Monday. I hope you have a great afternoon and evening.